You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. John, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Devin.
Hey.
Our fine producer, Devin, Mr. Gets this all going every week.
That's me.
Yes, yes, it is you. All right. Well, I'm glad. Hey, we might have a light show tonight in topics, but you know what? Let's hit them up because there's some good ones to talk about. Last week, we talked in the show about the recent signings of the Utah Jazz. We might as well start this show picking up right there. Right as we were recording last week, or about that time, we got news that the Jazz yet again went after another free agent out there, Epke Udoh, right?
Yep.
And they signed him.
He was a lottery pick. He did not work out in the NBA. He's been in Europe for 2 years, and he was MVP in their playoffs, in the EuroLeague playoffs this year, and just looks like the talents that he has developed over there fit in nicely with what the Jazz need to do. It's like every possible point on a defense they are addressing.
What
anything you want on defense, they've got somebody for it.
What draft was he drafted in? I forget.
He was in the Hayward draft.
Hey, so we lose.
I believe he was the sixth pick. Let's see. Wasn't Kyrie? No.
Kyrie was number one overall. No.
No, that wasn't that draft.
That was the previous draft. Kyrie was number one overall the same year that Cantor went number three to the Jazz. So that was the
favors.
John Wall.
John Wall.
That's right.
John Wall draft.
That's right.
So it was John Wall, Evan Turner, Derek Favors, Wesley Johnson, DeMarcus Cousins, and then Epi Udoh was sixth. Greg Monroe went seventh, and then Al-Farouq Aminu went eighth. And I remember when Aminu went at eighth, that's when it was like, oh man, I have no idea what the Jazz are going to do here. And we were all thinking like, I don't know, Ed Davis, maybe Xavier Henry. And then it was Gordon Hayward, and everyone's like, what?
Well,
Paul George and everybody after that.
Right. As a matter of fact, the Golden State Warriors had two lottery picks that year, if I remember correctly. Didn't they draft Udoh?
They drafted Udoh.
What? But wait, when did Clay go? Was that the previous year?
No, Clay was the Alec Burks.
Oh, that's year. Right. That's right. I'm getting my years mixed up. That's right. Clay was the Alec Burks year, which was the very next year. Then I believe
because we just missed. If Clay had been there at number 12, they would have taken Clay. When he was taken off, they went with Alec. And if Alec had already been gone as well, they were going to go with Kawhi, but you know, Alec was still there.
That's right. And that was the same draft that Jimmer went as well.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And here's my question. Udoh, I remember him well. And then he disappeared. What happened to Udoh? Because I don't know that he didn't have a talent or skill level in the NBA. What happened?
He just never really clicked. I mean, his rookie year was rough. He wasn't very good on offense, and they traded him in the middle of his second year to Milwaukee, and he never really saw improvement in Milwaukee either.
Let's be fair though. I know why he didn't go anywhere in Milwaukee, because I believe the same year he's moved to Milwaukee, Milwaukee had a promising big man that later was no longer in the NBA. I think that was that same year we saw, why can't I think of his name?
Larry Sanders
coming up.
Yeah,
wasn't
Larry
it?
Sanders.
So there. I think that was that same year, which is why Udoh never really probably saw a whole lot of time on the floor.
Well, he went there when Milwaukee was the worst team in the league.
Right.
Antetokounmpo was a rookie and he wasn't anything what he became. You know, Larry Sanders was starting to lose his love of the game.
Oh, was that time? Okay. All right. That's right.
I think their biggest scorer was Brandon Knight.
That's right.
So, you know, it was just a rough, bad team. But really, he just never landed in the right place to develop correctly, I think. He came out, he was older, and a problem with guys who are seniors who get drafted is their junior and senior years look really good because they're playing against younger guys.
Right.
I think Charlotte's discovering the same thing with Kaminsky, where he's just struggling. But the thing with Udo is he was really able to capitalize and transform himself overseas. And he is what the modern NBA is becoming. He is at 6'10", they kind of viewed him as a little too small for a center. Now that's like the perfect size for a center. And he has good lateral movement. He's really good on switches and he's good on perimeter defense, mid-range defense. He seems like he's going to be a really good backup center for Gobert. I think that's what they got him for. They recognize Bradley isn't going to be able to contribute some nights, and so they got this guy to be able to come in, and they'll get solid minutes from him. And I've been encouraged by the highlights I've been watching of him since he's been in Europe.
All right. Well, I'm encouraged by the idea behind him, and you know, you're right. I'm encouraged by all these guys. You know, Cephalosha, Jerebko, and now Udo. All of them fit the identity that the Jazz have been building for the last 2 or 3 years, and that is defense first. And I know we touched on this last time, but I really think that the Utah Jazz are going to force teams to try and figure out how to score on them, and I think their defense is going to win them a lot of games. You know, I'm excited about Udo. I think he's a good fit. I'm excited about Jerebko. I mean, since we recorded last week, we've seen more things, more information come up about him. I mean, he's talked about his favorite team growing up was the Utah Jazz. His first ever NBA jersey was that of Karl Malone. I mean, how much more of a perfect fit can you get than Jerebko, right?
His first tweet was an autographed Karolinko jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the guy is a perfect fit to play in Utah for the Jazz. And I know Boston fans, some Boston fans are going to say, you know what? Hey, you guys can have our leftovers. We got Hayward. Well, that's fine. Say what you will. I've actually seen a few Boston fans come out and say, look, we really like Jerebko. Utah, you guys have picked up a really good guy. So Boston fans really like Jerebko. So I think we're heading in the right way with guys.
Yeah, I think so too. One other one we need to talk about is Royce O'Neal. And I have seen it reported that this is not a two-way contract, that his first year is fully guaranteed, and it's a 2 or 3 year deal. But that puts, if he's not a two-way contract, then that puts their contracts up to 16. And I'm surprised that they did that. I guess he was getting interest from multiple teams and they felt like they needed to do that to get him to sign with the Jazz. But he's a guy who went undrafted. He played in Europe. He had some good showings at Summer League and now he's getting a chance. And it also means that if he makes the team on a non-two-way contract, then that means someone like Joel Ballenboy might get waived. So
no.
It's interesting that I know, but I don't know how else this works. If it's true, it's not a two-way contract, then that's the only other thing. Then someone like Hal Netto or Joel Bellenboyd needs to be waived, or they have another trade in mind down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we have till what, October 1st to decide, I mean, right? Because when you get to the preseason, you're starting to whittle down that training camp roster. So by that point in time, I think we'll all have a good idea.
I think it's just like a day or two before the first game of the season. So mid-October.
Well, and so here's the other thing. I mean, the one name you didn't mention too, Devin ought to be jumping for joy at this. I mean, news this week, Devin and plenty of other fans. I mean, Eric Griffin. I mean, Dev, that was one of your favorite players in Summer League. Griff's got himself a two-way contract with the Jazz and the Stars, and looks like he's going to be around the organization for the year, which should be exciting news for Jazz fans. And I think it's a good thing for Eric Griffin.
Yeah, I think it'll be great for both sides. Has that become official, though? Because that's one of those things where I believe they were in talks, but I'm not sure if it was finalized yet. And I could see him maybe getting a contract elsewhere, too.
Well, he could. I thought it was made official. John, did you see official word on it or no?
Yeah, I saw it on, Trib reported it on the 18th.
Okay, cool. I thought it was just one of those, they were working towards a contract and it hadn't been finalized, but if it's a done deal, I'm great with that.
See, I'm looking while we're talking.
Yeah, and they confirmed that O'Neill's deal is not a two-way contract and Griffin's is.
Okay, and yeah, I do see the tweet from Tony Jones 2 days ago. The Utah Jazz and Eric Griffin have agreed to a two-way contract in principle, sources tell the Tribune. So maybe, Devin, maybe. I mean, it's in principle. Does that give the option to back out if something better comes along? If it's in principle?
I would think so, but I don't know.
I don't know.
I wonder how these two-way things are going to work, because if you're a two-way player, you're still basically a D-League guy. What if another team wants you?
I got to believe that that can work in your favor. I mean, my understanding of a two-way, and man, I know Spencer Wixom, I saw talking a great deal about this. There's a couple guys out there that are experts on this, of which I'm not, but I thought my understanding was he'll get paid to play the D-League, but on a two-way contract, it almost works out like those 10-day deals where the Jazz can call him up to play and they'll pay him an NBA salary to play on the team for the stretch of time that he does. Am I right?
I believe so.
Yeah, so does that mean, I mean, back to your question, does that mean that another team can snatch him up and take him as a two-way, or does that mean the contract is exclusive with the Utah Jazz and limits?
Well, the Jazz are paying them. It's more than what the D-League salaries usually were.
Right.
And so I imagine if another team wants them, there's got to be some kind of compensation, I would think. Maybe they trade a two-way player to them. I don't know.
Yeah, that's... If anybody listening knows the details on all of that, we'd love you to tweet at us and let us know. I'd be curious. I want to know a little more information about that. So, I think that's it for Jazz news. I mean, anything else I'm missing?
No.
All right. Well, let's move on to NBA news. This week, well, the soap opera that is Melo to the Rockets appears to continue to roller coaster up and down. Still a possibility. Yes.
Yeah, I saw it's still a possibility. I saw that the Knicks want to get back together with Melo and talk to him, and he is sending all kinds of signals that he still wants to go. And I saw earlier today that he was refusing to even meet with the front office in New York, that he really just wants out. I see that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are trying to recruit him. I just don't think that's going to go anywhere. he wants Houston or Cleveland, with Houston being the preference. And Houston is still trying to get that done. And I think Houston would have an easier time getting that done than Cleveland would. So,
yeah, two things come to mind here. One, you know, Melo's in control of his own destiny in reality. Because of that no trade clause, he can control, you know, the trade market a little bit on him. Two, it just is another witness to me, especially that he doesn't want to meet with front office, that again, is it Dolan? Is that who it is? That whole front office, the front office itself isn't a mess, but the New York Knicks, you guys need new ownership. End of story. It's just a mess.
Yeah, well, I don't see Dolan going anywhere.
No.
Someone had pointed out that, I think it was, I think his Twitter handle's Edwin_NBA.
Yes.
He said that wherever Chris Paul goes, the owner eventually sells the team. And so I said, this just in, Knicks willing to trade Porzingis for Chris Paul. They really like their owner. But I thought that was funny. It's like, he goes to the Clippers, owner's ousted. Goes to Houston, Rockets are suddenly for sale.
I have a suggestion, and we should start a hashtag. let's just Charles Oakley as owner. Can we just let Dolan make it up to the NBA and make it up to Charles Oakley and then sell it to Oakley and then move on and let Oakley take over ownership, part ownership of that team, please?
If Oakley has $2 billion, sure.
I know. I'm just saying maybe he can work out some sort of a deal with a couple other venture capitalists or folks out there that might want to team up and buy it. But let's hashtag Oakley for president, hashtag Oakley for Knicks owner. I don't know. I think that would be a suitable person. Ever since this whole problem with Dolan started happening and ever since things have fallen apart, my initial thought right away is, Oakley, why don't you see if you can make it happen? I don't know. It would only seem fair and right, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, any other NBA news?
Nothing's jumping out at me.
No. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's been a light week on news. So, Devin, we missing anything? You looking at me like maybe?
Well, we could do quick hits.
Well, we got a couple listener questions first.
I'll cover a few NBA things in quick hits.
Okay. All right. Well,
I need something here, guys. There's not a lot happening. You know, I'm not a baseball guy, so.
Fair enough.
Leave me something, please.
I'm not either, so that's fine. We'll all right. We'll leave a few NBA notes for Devin and quick hits. Let's move on to listener questions. John, did you get any tonight? I got a couple. Did you get anybody popping the question at you tonight? Yes, I did. I asked.
Yeah, one asked, what do we think LeBron's going to do since he's going to be a free agent next year?
I don't think he's coming.
Oh, is that one of your quick hits? Okay.
It is?
It was going to be. It was going to be.
Okay.
Well, it was a listener question, so we're talking about it now.
Let's do it. What do you think, John?
I think Cleveland is still favored to go to the finals, and if they do, they're going to get killed, and then LeBron's going to just want to move on. He's going to say, you know what? I got Cleveland a ring, but now I do think that he's going to go look west, look at the Clippers and Lakers and see where they are in their situation and probably join one of them.
I am going to go completely opposite of what every analyst and even you have suggested, and I'm going to say he stays. I know he wants to compete and play at a high level. I'm one of those, maybe this is blind belief, but I'm one of those believers that the West and East is going to find a balance eventually. And I have to believe that LeBron remaining East is going to be one of those factors that continues to produce that, because as long as he stays East, I think other players are going to move East, realizing LeBron's going to retire soon, because I still think we're about 4 or 5 years out. And when he retires, there's going to be opportunity in the East. So I have to believe he remains, one, because he's home, and I don't see him going anywhere else. I just don't. Maybe it's, you know, this is me who's been saying Hayward's staying for the last 6 months. So I'm saying.
So we should just discount everything you're saying.
Exactly, right? So I'm saying LeBron stays.
Yeah, but what I thought after Durant joined the Warriors that all the talent would want to go East and get away from that.
Yeah.
And we saw the opposite happen. Right. Everybody wants to go West. And maybe that's just the psychological beating of LeBron making the finals 7 years in a row. The East is just like, this isn't even fun anymore. And so they'd rather go West and take their chances against the best team that's ever been assembled.
That's not going to give any sort of leeway at all. See, that's...
That actually got better.
I know. That's what I don't understand. Why, unless you're a player that looks at a challenge in the West and goes, geez, I can team up with these other guys and make another super team, Houston... another super team, Oklahoma City, and we're going to compete against the Warriors and maybe we'll have a better chance than against LeBron. I don't understand that thinking. Meanwhile, guys like Gordon Hayward says, I'm going to go East because I'm going to have a chance to beat LeBron and move up to that championship in the East. I don't know. I'm confused. Somebody help me here.
I mean, Hayward going East meant that he guarantees that he's going to be an all-star every year. because there's so much less talent in the East.
That's the and thing, John.
You probably even pencil them in for the conference finals every year.
Okay.
Well, no, you're hitting the nail right on the head. You can't make a super team in the East because there's not the talent there.
Right.
Everyone's gone. You know, it'd be one thing if you had the Pacers with Paul George and they had done something last season. You know what I mean? But there are very few super team options out there.
And I'm going to say this. I've been saying this for a week now, and I'm going to say it again. Until LeBron either moves to the West or retires, Gordon Hayward or no, there is not a single team that's going to get past him. And if they do, they're not going to win an NBA championship. It's not going to happen. So I don't know.
Well, I can tell
if
you
LeBron, next year already looks like it's going to be the fourth year in a row we're going to have Warriors-Cavs.
Right, right.
Because the East got thinner and the Warriors got better. And I don't care how many other super teams are being formed in the West. The Warriors are just head and shoulders above everybody else.
Right. And I'm still going to go out on a limb and still say that San Antonio is better than Houston will be, and they're better than Oklahoma City will be. Sorry, guys, but I'm not sold that those teams are going to be significantly better than San Antonio next year. I don't.
Really? I mean, what is San Antonio doing? They let Jonathan Simmons go.
I know, but I'm not sold on Chris Paul to Houston yet. What has Chris Paul done with the Clippers, for heaven's sakes? Lost in the second round of the playoffs every year? I'm not sold that Chris Paul makes them a contender in the West. And I'm not really sold that Paul George makes Oklahoma City a contender in the West. I know people are going to get at me and tell me I'm an idiot for saying this, but John, tell me why you think that is. What has Chris Paul done lately?
Well, Chris Paul statistically was one of the best players in the NBA last year. When you look at stuff like real plus minus, he was incredible. When you look at NBA math, that site, when it's looking at total points affected, he was one of the best players. His problem was that Blake Griffin went down.
Okay.
And once Blake Griffin went down, that series was over. He has had problems in years past. Maybe some of it we can assign to Doc Rivers. You know, maybe there's been a problem with Doc Rivers, the GM, just not giving him a good bench, keeping his son on the team at all costs. And so I think a change of scenery is probably going to do Chris Paul some good. I don't know yet how the Houston thing is going to work. I trust with D'Antoni that it's going to be a high octane offense and they're going to win a lot of games. And, you know, the most they can hope for is the one to have the honor of getting crushed by the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. But I still would not be surprised if they're a second round exit again.
That's what I'm saying. And again, you haven't mentioned Oklahoma City yet, but I'm sorry, Paul George, in my opinion, does not make them a whole lot better than fifth or sixth in the West either. Maybe fourth, but I don't see it.
Well, I look at what they were with Kevin Durant on the team, and I know Kevin Durant's a ton better than Paul George.
A lot.
But they had a giant talent drop when KD left. And I feel like with getting Paul George for not much, they've got some of that restored.
But they lose they lose their defensive edge. Didn't they lose their defense? I mean, Roberson's back,
no,
right?
No.
Roberson's back still then?
Roberson's back. Steven Adams is back.
Okay.
They'll be fine.
Okay. I mean, the verdict is still out for me on them too. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I'm not a big Paul George fan either. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I know Flock bashes on him, but I think Russell Westbrook and Paul George together, I just don't think that's a team you want to sleep on.
Okay. All right. Well, there. Hope that's the long version answer of where LeBron goes, because we really went further in the NBA, and that's okay. You didn't get any other questions besides that?
Best breed of
wait,
dog.
Wait,
Devin. Go ahead.
Wait.
Did I try and transition too quickly for you?
No, you're going to not let me talk about LeBron James.
Oh, my bad.
You're not going to let me tell you what LeBron James is thinking.
Devin, the floor is yours.
I'll tell you what the Cavs need to do if they want to keep LeBron James. they need to move someone like Kevin Love, even if it means not getting much in return, so they can free open some space for a free agent to sign. That's one thing they need to do.
Okay.
They need to stop getting these older guys that are vets, and they need to take some more risks and get some younger talent in there around him.
All right.
They need a big. Tristan Thompson is not enough. Kevin Love is not a true big. They need a defender, a big. They need someone. They're not going to get a Rudy Gobert, but they need someone kind of like that. Cleveland would be smart to take on a Jeff Withey.
Okay.
But, alas, if this does not happen,
you're saying people say, walking.
People say LeBron will go west. And I say, careful. Not so fast, my friend. Because I feel like LeBron James could be one of those guys who decides, you know what? I trust the process.
Oh, he's going to Philly.
Oh.
That could be interesting.
I love that idea.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, but they okay. who takes a back seat there though? Because they've got a lot of young talent. A couple
who's
of those
in
guys.
The front seat?
Well, okay.
No we, one's
Embiid for 31
that.
Games.
Okay, but we had a rookie that didn't play at all last year that I think is going to get his opportunity. Is going to be good this year, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's think about this. They've got Fultz. If Fultz ends up being a first team all rookie,
and then Simmons.
And Simmons should also be, if not like a rookie of the year, both either of those guys. They've got Embiid.
If he can remain healthy, like you said. Saric is good. Saric, yeah, I'll give you that.
LeBron comes on. J.J. Redick goes, hey, I'll sign for less money. do you see what's starting to happen here?
Okay.
Well, LeBron, I mean, Philly has such a small payroll. Because they signed J.J. Redick to a one-year, $23 million deal just so they could get that payroll up.
Right.
So if you get LeBron there, they have enough room to sign LeBron and another guy for max money to put that cast of characters. That could be a very intriguing possibility.
All right.
And think about
this. I think next year Philly is going to sign an all-star to add to that cast. It's just too good. I don't know who's a free agent next year, but
so Devin throws in,
that is going to be a very tempting destination in the next year too.
So Devin pulls out the wrench and throws in the kitchen sink, and suddenly we have something to talk about here.
But I mean, really think about this. You have Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Paul's on the last year of his deal in Houston. So if it doesn't work out, he could jump, which you could have a Fultz, Chris Paul backcourt. I don't know where Wade's going to be. Isn't Wade at the end of his deal in Chicago?
Yeah, he opted in for his final year.
Yeah.
Is Melo on the last year of his deal? I don't.
Melo has 2 years left.
Oh, he has 2 years? Okay. But, I mean, think about this. LeBron wants his Super Friends team. And if he can do it around a bunch of top three picks.
Yeah. Okay.
Telling you.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
And Embiid, and I think Simmons, that there has been some talk to LeBron through social media over the years. So,
well, we have talked for the last 2.5 years on this show about the fact that we felt like Philly, when it started with Hinkie, and now continues to build right. So you build right, you get momentum, and then you pick up LeBron James. Not a bad option, Devin. That's very intriguing.
And the East is still wide open for LeBron to just plow through into the finals.
Right, right. Well, all right, gives our listeners something to think about. John, what was the next question?
Best breed of dog.
I'm going to have to turn to Devin on this one because I'll tell you my favorite, and it's a German Shepherd. But Devin, what is your best? What's the best breed of dog?
There are a lot of good breeds of dogs, Alan. And really, it depends on what you want your dog experience to be. Because if you want high energy experience, you do not want a lazy dog. And if you just want to sit around the house, you do not want a Jack Russell.
Wow. John, what's your answer?
My favorite dog I ever had was a Shih Tzu Lhasa Apso mix. They're an indoor dog and they don't shed. Really friendly, sweet personality. For outdoor dogs, it's fun to have something like a golden retriever or a Labrador.
Okay.
But I like the Lhasa Apsos.
Okay.
I will say this. I have had a German Shepherd. I have had a Golden Retriever. I've had a Beagle. And the dog that I have now, maybe the best combination of the dogs is a Golden Doodle.
And a really pretty one, too.
Because it has the golden color and kind of that friendly, fun personality.
Yep.
Of the Golden Retriever, but it does not shed nearly as much. And it's a bigger dog. Mine's not one of the little teddy bear ones. That's the fun thing. They come in different sizes, guys.
All right. Who let the dogs out? Woof, woof. All right. We've been talking on, you know, far more dogs than I anticipated on this show. No offense to dog lovers, because we love you.
But we do have to agree on one thing.
What's that?
Our favorite dog
is
Antoine Carr, the big dog.
Woof, woof. All right. Yes, I agree. All right, and last but not least, I had two other questions. I'm saving one for pop culture, but one question we did get is you wanted to know what to talk about tonight. He said, how about the Jazz? How about the Jazz? We have talked about them, so it's a good question, good response. Let's go ahead and...
I think they meant jazz music.
On that note, let's go ahead and move on to Devin's Quick Hits.
Okay, we talked about LeBron James and where he's going to go. My question is, are we going to have to talk about this like every couple weeks for the entire season? Do you guys think so? Because I kind of get that vibe.
Whether we have to or not, the real question is, are we okay with that? My answer is yes.
Yeah, I think you're going to have Kevin Love and trade rumors all year long.
Yeah, I think so.
As Cleveland tries to figure out what they can do to keep LeBron. How about not firing Griffith? Oh, well, I guess that's done.
Yeah.
Griffin. So, you know, Chauncey Billups backed out of taking the GM job because he probably saw the writing on the wall that LeBron's probably going to leave and Cleveland's GM job suddenly becomes one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
I'm going to be that guy. Well, actually, I thought I read that he chose an opportunity that was more what he wanted to do, and that was with ESPN as an analyst. Didn't I read
sure.
that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what he's saying. Is that what we're saying? That's what the air quotes, the better job is what he wanted, well, his dream.
Put it this way. If you had a choice between being the GM of the Cavs versus the GM of Philadelphia, which one would you take? You know? I would take the one where there's nowhere to go but up and you have a lot of good assets versus the one where your best asset is probably going to walk out the door and you're not going to be left with much.
I'll take the Philly job because LeBron's going to come play there. So, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, sure. you mentioned early, what if they could trade away Kevin Love and not get much back to make room for a free agent? If they traded away Kevin Love and got nothing back in the return, it'd still be in the luxury tax.
Yeah, that's they're hurting for money right
now. They're over $130 million on the payroll next year.
I think the Cavs and Portland are two teams that are right up there near the top hurting for money this next year. Am I right? I mean, Portland's not doing too good either.
Dan Gilbert's going to have to go on the wall and see if he can win some money.
Yeah. Am I right about that? Wasn't Portland one of the top two or three teams that's really hurting?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they're strapped. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, that's our, next one.
Next quick hit. Lonzo Ball is a big baller. Does that mean he can wear any shoes that he wants? And do you care?
I don't care.
I don't really care. He ought to just try to find some shoes that stay together the whole game. Probably start with that.
That would be helpful.
Fair enough.
And if they don't cost $500, that's probably a perk, right?
Yeah. Hey, I just looked. Portland's salary is actually higher than Cleveland's.
Oh, ouch.
That's what happens when you're paying $36 million to Allen Crabbe and Evan Turner next year.
One of the worst pickups Portland could do.
All right. James Jones is now a vice president of basketball operations for the Phoenix Suns.
Wow.
Not sure if you guys saw that before.
That. No, I missed that.
I didn't see
it
either.
That's interesting.
So maybe LeBron James to Phoenix?
Ooh.
He does tend to need James Jones to win.
Just saying.
And Devin Booker and LeBron James together, that's intriguing, an opportunity. Okay. All right.
What do they even have? Now, they are not poised right now. Yeah, they've still got 2 years of Tyson Chandler, 2 years of Jared Dudley, 2 years of Eric Bledsoe. They still got 3 years of Brandon Knight. If I was Phoenix, I'd be trying to figure out a way to get out of that contract.
Yeah.
But their total salaries isn't bad. They could still sign some decent players. I think they're just kind of standing pat this year, keep sucking, get another lottery pick, and then next year make their move. They still haven't re-signed Alex Lynn, which is interesting. He was a number four pick, and they don't seem to know if they really want to keep him or not. I'm guessing that they go ahead and sign him to his qualifying offer and just make him an unrestricted free agent next year.
Yeah.
But you're not really seeing other people inquire about him either, so who knows what they're doing with him.
Okay, making the next jump. NBA 2K18 ratings are being released, and you've got some guys who are not so happy about their scores, others who are fine with them. As an NBA player, should they really care about a video game?
It's a sign of the new generation.
It is. If you're Gordon Hayward, I guess you care, right? Haywood.
Or if you're, which one of them owns an esports company? Is that Drebko?
Yes, it is. It is Drebko.
Yeah. So he'll care. I saw that Embiid cares. He was not happy.
Would you guys care?
No.
Really? When you got the first negative?
I mean, if you're...
Well, okay, maybe I would a little bit, but I don't care much about those stupid games anyway.
If you got a -2 rating, Alan?
I think if you were a professional athlete and your likeness and image was being used in this system, and this system is saying that you're not as good as you think you are compared to these other guys, yeah, there's egos involved.
Right about now is where I need the boomerang video for Instagram. Because the look that Devin just gave me is perfect for a boomerang video.
I just hit him with blue steel.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, I would definitely care. You know, it would be one of those things. It would be a motivator for me. So,
okay,
yeah,
fine.
Some guys tweeted out their rankings. Carl Anthony Towns tweeted out a 91.
Did we talk about these rankings last year? We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
But they never really meant anything, right? Because if I remember correctly, they had players... None of those players really amounted to, I mean, it didn't really matter when it came in the grand scheme of things. All right.
Well, they care now.
I know. All right.
People care.
Okay.
All right. Last NBA quick hit. First look at the jerseys coming up for this next season. You guys take a look.
I think I saw them.
Are those official?
No. I don't think we've seen any official ones for the Jazz. They had like a Warriors jersey that was on display, so you kind of got the look of them. But let me ask you this, because this is one of the rumors that came out, and Andy Blarson.
Sorry, Andy, we know you listen because you were a guest on this show and you listened to us, so forgive Devin's slip up.
When you follow me, I will get your name correct. I'm just gonna say that. Anyway, Mr. Blarson said that there was a rumor or a belief that there will be a gold or a yellow or some shade of yellow, gold, whatever, jersey for the Jazz. How do you guys feel about that? I have my feelings, but I want your guys' take before I say anything.
Hell no.
Well, there was a yellow... I can't remember who tweeted it out. I think it was Moni or Diana Allen or one of her female Jazz fans. Where they tweeted out a picture of this yellow Jazz jersey from 2 years ago, and it looked terrible. And when I saw that, I'm like, no. I mean, I know gold is one of the Jazz colors, but I hope not. I hope not. I'd rather blue, purple, green, those colors. I don't want to see a gold as a dominant color for a Jazz jersey.
This is a recording. Hell no.
Well, you're both wrong.
Why are we both wrong?
I am overjoyed at the thought of a yellow jersey.
Oh, boy.
No, I just think with the color scheme that they have, I think it would be a nice change. It would be a really fresh look. You know, I think about the throwback jerseys that they had, the Sundiata Gaines game winner jersey, if you will, the green and the gold. Now, keep in mind, I do have my bias here as a Notre Dame football fan, as a Notre Dame basketball fan, you know, so there is that. But I think they are going to look very, very good. I think I can't see them making that move and not having it work out. I understand the concerns, but I'm telling you guys right now, if this happens, you will go, okay, I really like that jersey.
Not a chance, but okay.
You will.
No.
Well, I'll reserve judgment. I just know the last time I saw it, it was ugly and awful.
Oh, yeah. There's some like mock-ups and, you know, ones that people have made that just look atrocious. But I have faith that the Jazz will put together a good alternate jersey. You know, similar to like the Pride jerseys. I was not about the sleeve jerseys, but those turned out very nice, I think. Last season.
Moving on from the yellow brick road.
I hate sleeve jerseys, but okay.
All right. Colin Kaepernick still does not have a football job. Michael Vick says he needs a haircut. Some people say that that is crazy. What do you guys think? Why is Cap not getting a job?
See, I don't know. I'm everybody knows how much of a Cap fan I've always been. Even through all of this, I heard something on the Fox Sports News on Sunday, I think it was Fox Sports Radio. One of the guys was talking about Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, also being rumored to maybe getting a job back in the NFL again with all the rumors that are surrounded him. And we all know part of the problem was didn't he have some charges against him for domestic violence? I thought I heard about
Manziel?
That. Yeah, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, there was some incident with his girlfriend.
There was an incident with his girlfriend, but big news. But I have to agree with the two Fox Sports news guys, and that is, it's almost a travesty when you don't give a guy a job in the NFL who merely stands up for what he feels is right, and uses his right as a free American to do something about it, and then you give a job to a guy who's got some violence issues, domestic violence. I don't know. I agree with these guys. I think Kaepernick deserves an opportunity. I hope he eventually gets it. Do I think he will? Yeah, I think he's going to have to work his way back in. But my understanding is it's not just about what he's doing off the field. I think also he's out of shape, and I think there's some work to be done there. John?
Well, I think if he was more talented and a better performer, then he would have another job. I do think there are probably some NFL owners who don't appreciate what he did and felt like there might have been some, you know, let's make it about me gestures with him doing it, but it wound up being meaningful to a lot of people. And I, you know, ultimately don't have a problem with what he did, but, you know, if he was a better player, then people wouldn't care.
Well,
whereas if he's borderline, you know, what are you looking for in your backup quarterback? You know, there's been a ton of quarterbacks who've been backup quarterbacks who bounced around from place to place. Like, you know, I think of Brady Quinn and guys like that, where they were supposed to be really good coming out of college and they might have had a good year, and then they just go down, down, down. And that's what happened to Kaepernick. Is he had this great year. He looked like he was the future in San Francisco. Oh, and then it got worse, and then it got worse. And
let's be fair. He had three great years. He was a promising young talent. And I don't, if anything, his talent, the talent was never in question. I still will stand by the fact that I think that he was misused after his second or third year, misused in the league, and they tried to turn him into a pocket passer when instead they should have used him to his strengths. I believe Kaepernick has strengths that will get him places in the NFL. The problem, I think, right now is his talent is dictated by maybe what he's not done to keep himself in shape. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he's just not in shape enough to play football right now. And you know, I know that your Seahawks, for heaven's sakes, I thought expressed interest for a little while there, but my understanding was he just football shape. He wasn't there. That's what I kind of heard or understood.
Well, no, what was said is that Pete Carroll was saying that he's a starting quarterback and they already had a starting quarterback.
Okay.
Which I think is bogus to say that.
Well, maybe. I still think Kaepernick could be a starting quarterback in this league.
Not why I say it's bogus. I think it's bogus that you wouldn't pick up a guy for that reason. Give me a break.
Fair enough. I agree.
You know, Kaepernick is better than not the majority, but a lot of backup quarterbacks.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like he's better than Gabbert was for the Niners the last 2 years, but he just got off the field issues that I think got in the way of what his potential was. And I don't think he was, the Niners are a mess of an organization. So I think that's just as much on the Niners and the way they handled it as it was on Cap.
Okay. We're going to jump topic here. I believe there is something happening tomorrow with a person who's famous for football and other stuff.
You're going to have to give me more than that. John, are you any idea what he's talking about?
Football and other stuff.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
No.
Football and other stuff.
Are you parole hearing what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Are we talking about O.J. Simpson?
Yes, we are.
Up for parole.
Oh, all right.
Does it happen?
I think he gets denied.
My answer to this, I don't care. Ship has sailed for me. Something should have been done with it a long time ago. And I felt like, anyway, I don't care.
I think prosecutors went way overboard with what they charged him with and what the judge sentenced him. And that's because they knew he got away with murder.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I just don't see a parole board willing to go. Well, he's been in jail. I don't know, 5 years, 7 years, something like that.
It'll never make up for what he did.
I think it's going to be in the back of their mind. It's like, yeah, he was in jail for this, but do we really want to let him out of jail now? Because this is basically a surrogate sentence. I know it's not fair by the eyes of the law. Justice is supposed to be blind and all that. But that's really what's going on.
Isn't that like in the NBA, the makeup ghost foul on the other end for the really horrible call on the opposite
this is
side of the floor?
Ghost jail sentence.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right. And let me see. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about briefly. Was today Stuart Scott's birthday or would have been his?
Would have been 52.
Would have been 52. So.
Rest in peace, Stuart Scott. Always one of my favorites.
I know, right?
So that's a great place to end on Devin's Quick Hits. Remembering one of the greats from ESPN. So we miss you, Stu. All right, moving on. Pop culture. John, you got... Before we get into your, let's talk about what you've seen. I haven't seen any movies to talk about. I mean, Spider-Man, but we've already talked about it last week. But let's go to the listener question real quick. He said, or listener suggestion, he said, talk about Porgs. For those who don't know what that is, for those who are not deep into the Star Wars lore like John and myself, they are animals that have been leaked as animals that are on the island with Luke in Star Wars The Last Jedi. So there you have it. I know. Go ahead, geek out with us. Or tell me I'm completely just too geeky for you. And that's okay. But Porgs, they're cute little, what did we say they are, John? Cute little.
They look like little puffins.
Little puffins or little penguin-looking bird animals. So what are they in the movie? I don't know. And my good friend Jason Ward at MakingStarWars.net originally broke the story. Yeah, if you want to know more about it, go to MakingStarWars.net, look up Porgs, P-O-R-G-S. You'll find out more information, especially if you're geeking out about The Last Jedi. All right, you've seen a couple of movies this week.
I have. I haven't had a chance to see some of the big budget stuff that's coming out, but I did see two that were interesting. First, I saw The Beguiled.
Okay.
which is directed by Sofia Coppola. It's a remake of a 1971 movie starring Clint Eastwood that I never saw. It takes place during the Civil War, and there is this school where there it's just all women. It's just two teachers and five students, and all of their men are gone. Their slaves are gone. They're in this school in Virginia, and they're just kind of off from battles. You can hear distant gunfire every once in a while in the movie, but they're just kind of running this school waiting for the war to end. And a wounded Union soldier winds up near them, near their school. So they take him in, they treat his wounds, and the soldier's played by Colin Farrell. And so there's this, you know, change the dynamics of everything when there's a man led in this school. And you can kind of see the way it kind of flusters through the different women. And it's kind of funny. And it sets up to be this real potboiler, like the sexual tension and stuff. And it comes close to that, but it felt like a movie that never quite just really exploded with its potential. It stayed buttoned up for a lot of the time. I mean, I was entertained by it, but by the time I got to the end, I was like, that's it. I just felt like she had set up to do something really interesting, and she had a great cast to be able to do it. And I was just kind of disappointed she didn't do more with the story. Colin Farrell, I guess, got to show off the most range. Nicole Kidman, Kristen Dunst, Ellie Fanning, they were all really good in their characters, and they just seemed like they were ready to do more, but they just weren't allowed to. So it was okay, but I think it works better as a rental. Overall, I guess I was disappointed because I was expecting more. Maybe if you're not expecting much, it's fine, but I don't know.
To me, okay.
I just thought there'd be more to it.
Couple of questions here. Well, first an observation and the second one a question, but it looks to me, judging by some of the images I see, that this was somewhat of a dark thriller a little bit. Is it safe to say it's a little bit darker?
Yeah, it goes, I mean, there's a twist that happens and it goes to some dark places. The second half of the movie's darker than the first half of the movie.
Rotten Tomatoes has it at 77% too. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot, it's very well made. I liked a lot of the directing. I just wish that, there was more to it. I don't know if I'm explaining this right, but it's,
I think you're good. I get it. I do.
I'm trying to think of what I can compare it to, but nothing's coming to mind right now. It's good, and I can see why other people would like it. I can see why critics would rave about it. I was just wishing that there was actual more to it, but the story winds up being so. It's something that probably works better as a book. I don't know if it's based on a book or not. I think it is actually. Okay. I bet the book is really interesting, and the book is probably able to give you a lot more of the emotions going on with the characters. The movie just never quite hit that for me.
And the one question I have, and then we'll move on to the other movie, but Sofia Coppola, that name rings a bell. Was that Francis Ford Coppola relation?
Yeah, that's his daughter.
Okay.
She was Michael Corleone's daughter in Godfather 3. And she was cast in that part because Winona Ryder withdrew at the last second. She's not a good actress. She shifted to directing, and she's been pretty good director. She was the director of Lost in Translation with the Bill Murray movie. She did Marie Antoinette, which I enjoyed. She did a movie called Somewhere that I was kind of bored by, actually. But she's got these varying tastes as far as what she directs, and this felt like it was something that might get her a little more mainstream attention. I felt like it was probably a little too safe and withdrawn. So I would say Lost in Translation is still probably her best movie. And, you know, she's one where I'm still interested in what she's going to do, and I'll still follow her. This one just didn't quite do it for me.
Okay. Well, let's move to the other movie you saw. And I knew a little bit about this ahead of time because I listened to Adrian Leiser and Austin Horton on the movie show talk about this, and they both seemed eager to talk about this. You went and saw The Big Sick.
Yeah, The Big Sick. This is from, what's his name? Kumail Nanjiani. He is the Pakistani guy from Silicon Valley. It's probably what he's best known for right now. He's a stand-up comedian, and he and his wife co-wrote this script about their courtship, basically, where he's a Pakistani guy living in New York, plugging along at stand-up comedy, meets this white girl. They date, they fall in love, but he's kind of got one foot in, one foot out, because he doesn't want to tell his parents he's dating a white girl, because they're determined for him to marry a good Muslim Pakistani girl. And so they wind up breaking up, but right after they break up, she has this serious medical condition that puts her in a coma. And so a lot of the movie, she is in a coma and he is still hanging out at the hospital, and he meets her parents. And a good, I'd say a good half of the movie is just him slowly bonding with her parents, even though they know they just broke up and he's not really her boyfriend anymore. But Ray Romano and Holly Hunter play her parents, and so there's a lot of good interaction with them. And it's just a really well done, unconventional love story that happens to be true. And I was really interested by it. It was interesting throughout. I liked the approach. I liked seeing that different window into things. The parents were both really good. This is something I could see probably getting nominated for Best Comedy for a Golden Globe in 6 months. It would not surprise me at all.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I was intrigued by it when I heard. I think I botched the name a second ago. My apologies to both Adrian and to Austin. It's The Movie Zone on 1280 The Zone. The two of them already know I listen. I listen regularly. I botched the name and I apologize. But
they're not paying us.
No, they're not. And if I got it wrong, Austin, I apologize because if I got wrong that the two of you were eager, I apologize. But I seem to remember them talking this last week about it, and that being one of those shows they wanted to see and were eager about and suggested people to go see. So there you have it. John also says, go see The Big Sick. So The Beguiled and The Big Sick, judge as you will, folks, go check them out. With that, I think we'll wrap it up. What I thought was going to be a light show. Hey, we turned out to talk a lot more NBA than I thought we'd have to talk about. So, props to Devin on his quick hits tonight. He pulled some good ones out of the hat. And thank you all for listening, and thanks for your questions and your interaction with us. It was a good show this week. Thank you all for joining us. Look for us in the next time for the next episode of Jedi and Germs. You can find us, download us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors. Bring them on board and let them listen to us and ride along with us each week. We appreciate that you do. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again very soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.